Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Sunday show. How are you,
Sunday.
Anna?
I'm good. It's the Sunday show. Well, you know, it's interesting. You ask, how am I doing? How am I doing? It's like, well, good is a good answer. I feeling that within myself, good. Mm-hmm. And it's not always that way. I'll be honest with you. Mostly that flow now, which is awesome. I love that it feels better. And a lot had to do, you know, you and I went to that meditation on Friday night. And
right.
I felt pretty good going over. And, you know, the whole pushing myself to go and filling the pool to go, and that was really exciting. And then going through the meditation and just coming out of that meditation, I felt really, really wonderful pretty much that whole night. And I didn't tell you this, but after I left your house, I ended up going over to D&K's house behind your house and hanging out with them for about an hour and a half, which was totally off the cuff because it was, late night, and they don't usually, these are some friends, they don't usually stay up late. They have a son, and just so happened that I got a text. Actually, when we just landed at your house, and I said, I'll talk to you later. And when I left your house, I messaged and said, are you still up? We can talk. Yes, I'm still up. And I said, well, I'm right around the corner if you want me to come by. Yes, come by. I've got more beer.
Okay.
That's the message. So I went over there, and I hung out with them for a while. And it was good. And just very easy conversation. My friend Deb is kind of a playful person. So she was running some RC cars on a racetrack, and so just hang out and just kind of talk, and she's constantly trying to find things for all the kids to do, and free bowling this summer, and let's go shoot the hooch, and so there's always something recreational to do when you're around Deb, and so that felt really good. I did get to see my kids yesterday. It was wonderful for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good. And so I still wrestle with the surrealism of the experience that I've been working through for the last couple of weeks, and just knowing that, all is well, because it has to be well within myself.
Yeah.
It has to be well, because if it's not, then it's something else. And I'm refusing to believe that it can be anything other than well. And that I know, you talk to people. I was talking to another friend last night who was messaging me saying, hey, checking in on you. And I'm like, I'm doing all right. So we ended up on the phone, and of course people want to give you their advice. They want to tell you what you need to do. And I understand that. I am not into, not that they're saying do this and you can manipulate the situation or anything at all, but it's kind of like, you need to do this so that this could possibly be an outcome. Or it's like, no, we're not doing any of these gamey kind of things. I'm not doing anything that's going to I'm doing things for me, and it has to be that way. I have to shift the energy for me. I have to maintain the shift of the energy for me in order for me to move in the direction that I want to go. And that's the huge part. I think that's a big aha for me, because I'm so used to strategizing. You're strategizing because you're with a group of people, when you look at it, it's that way. You do a dance around people. You do a dance for people. You do a dance. And it's amazing, because yesterday the scenario was, I went over there because my AC unit is out at my home. I do have a portable unit, and that's fine, but it very limits the space to where you can be in the house. And so the kids, I didn't want them to be lobbied up into a corner. So I went over to their space And as soon as she got back to her space, I could tell, you know, she went to a meditation class. So I was thinking, oh, good, she'll be calm when she comes in. It'll be good. And not necessarily the case. There were some dagger stares, you know, as soon as she walked in the door. Mm. And I was thinking to myself, you know, first of all, I've been here with the kids, haven't done anything. We've not been together. You know, that's my whole thing is I don't, you know, I'm taken out of the equation. So if the problem is me, why is the situation still, why are the feelings still mm-hmm. the same? Why is the situation still the same? So Lil and I were in the middle of a program that we were watching together, and I knew it was not something long, so it was short. And so I just made the statement, I'm going to follow through with Lily on this show, and then we're going to read a book, and then I'm going to be gone. You know, I'm going to leave. And so I did that. Lil and I went in her room. I read the book. We were talking a little bit. You know, both kids are like, why can't, you know, can't you stay? And, you know, there goes my heart, right? Because mm-hmm. I want to mm-hmm. stay. I want to be there with them. And I said, no, sweethearts, I need to go back to the house. I need to do some things. And, you know, so it's what you do. And so I walk out and I said, you know, I'm heading out. I'll see you later. And so I did. I left. And there was really no conversation or anything there. And then later I get a text from her, which I thought was very interesting. And becoming very aware of these things, the more it's an eye opener for me, because it's like, you know, she didn't have to apologize. It is her space, you know. She said, but it was very reminiscent of when she would walk in and some stuff that needed to get done, and I was there just basically watching TV with the kids. You know, she laid out this whole scenario for me, and I thought, well, that's interesting that, because what does that bring up? What does that, you know, because my question is, what does that bring up in her? Because I'm sitting watching with the children. I'm actually, you know, engaged in something with my kids. And so I started thinking about that, and it's like, that has nothing to do with me, you know? Because in my head I'm thinking, what did I do wrong? Because that's been my MO, right? What am I doing wrong? So, and she said, you know, when I came in, I was just really expecting you to get up and walk out like a babysitter, and you're not a babysitter. I mean, she acknowledged you're not a babysitter. You're one of their parents. And this is my house. It's not our house. So I need to take responsibility for my stuff. I need to take responsibility for me. And she says, I'm changing. I'm working on changing my expectations and my mindset. She says, why I was upset. And, you know, so she explained it to me. And then I just said, you know, you don't have to explain. You know, I understand that you explained it to me. And I said, and I do want to respect your space. I also want us to be good with each other, like just good in general, you know, so that we can be pleasant around each other. And with the knowing that something was off kilter, I knew it was time. It was good to step away, but I also didn't want to just walk up, just stand up and say, okay, got to go, you know, in the middle of something that I was doing with our daughter. So that was very important. I think that was sort of an aha for me last night too, because and it wasn't that it was difficult to get up. I will say this. It was fairly easy to walk out that door because I was walking away from feeling something I didn't want to feel. And that was so I think I'm acknowledging my feelings, acknowledging that I felt the dagger stare. And instead of staying in that and really wanting to work it out right then, I couldn't. There's no way I could do it. And it was such a huge aha for me. And I walked away and as I was walking to my car, I just took some deep breaths, and I had to say, you know, all is well, everything is working out for me. And, you know, as much as I want to be with my family and as much as I want things to work out, it's okay, because this is the time and the space that everything, you know, it's almost like I can stand in my space and feel, you know, the stuff is the stuff. The house is the house.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is that I'm working through and feeling like perhaps maybe my You know, there are moments when I feel like my whole life is just crumbling. I mean, everything is just, and then part of me is like, you know, you almost need that to be able to recreate or create that person or that thing or the way of being that you really want to be in the world. You know, how much of the stuff that we get attached to, how much materialism do we get attached to? How many things do we get attached to in our world? You know, part of me, there's a split there because it's like life is short. Do what you love. You know, so I'm getting this message. Life is short. Do what you love. And only short in a way of, you know, as much as I want it, like I said, I want to be with my family and I want to spend time with them. I want to do fun things with them. When the fun's not there, not that I wouldn't endure not good times with them, because obviously we have done that. I feel like it's really important to understand the shifting and being able to shift and being able to move and being able to let go when it's time to let go. Being able to release when it's time to release. And I think that's the kind of thing that's happening all around me. I'm seeing myself shed emotionally, spiritually, physically, shed everything. It's almost like Source is pushing me to shed everything. It's been different. I mean, that's all I can say. I mean, it's very interesting how, sitting here talking to you, like, I got up early. I don't sleep very well. I haven't been sleeping very well for the past week. And that's more of waking up fairly early and then doing some meditating, falling back to sleep. There was mind chatter, and instead of doing I turned the TV on, and for some reason that knocked me out. So, but I don't really like sleeping with the TV on, you know. So all of these things you go and do, but trying different things. And so I'm really paying attention to where those feelings show up in my body and how I can shift and move those things in my body and how I can literally change the way I'm feeling in that moment instead of staying in a place of, I think there was part yesterday when the kids and I were actually playing a game, Wildcraft. It's a really cute game. It teaches you about herbs and stuff. And we were playing it, and this overwhelming feeling came over me of sadness, of missing this, you know. And in that moment, I'm saying to myself, but I'm here. I'm being present. You know, I'm here. I'm being present with my children. And yet this knot showed up in my solar plexus. And so I'm really wanting to work on moving that stuff, moving that energy, so that when I am present, I don't have this knot in my stomach and saying that, you know, this is a fleeting, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is a fleeting moment.
Yeah.
I miss this with my kids. I miss this with my family. So those are the things that I'm really looking at to shift. I don't want to not show up for them, you know?
Right.
And I think that those are the things that I want to say I struggle with, because part of me feels like if I just allow myself some downtime, you know, good amount of downtime, and then can regroup, that would be one thing. But then the other part of me is I want to see my kids, you know?
Yeah.
And I do. I want to see stuff too, and I want to see my kids. I want to hug them. And I want to love them. And so those are the things that I truly struggle with. And those are some, and I did, I felt like I had some big ahas and possibly some breakthroughs from yesterday. So I thought that was interesting to be able to kind of process that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But anyway.
No, it sounds like a pretty big day, big couple of days. And I think it's important, too, that you have, like, your kids see everything. Well, you know, as much as we want to protect them, like, just even how you're feeling and how you're responding to things. When I think of growing up, and there are a lot of things that I didn't see, and a lot of things I had no clue to even pay attention to. But there have been times in the course of my life where, especially, I think, with my mom, because she tends to, you know, she has very strong emotions, and she was the one that we were around the most growing up. So generally she was pretty strong, had her stuff together. She, you know, she did her thing, but very rarely did I see her cry. And so there are only a couple of times, say from, you know, from the time I was a kid to maybe high school, where I heard her cry. One was when we were still living in our mobile home, and there was a hurricane, and she was crying because she was afraid. She didn't, and I mean, and we didn't know what was going on either. It was just like that feeling of here we are, we're in this tin can in a hurricane, and like we couldn't go anywhere. We just had to stay put. So we were all kind of gathered in the I guess the center of the mobile home, and I could tell she was afraid, and that's why she was crying. And then the second time I heard her cry, I woke up to it. She had just gotten news that her mother had passed away. And that's when I heard it. So those are the times. Otherwise, you know, like I know when she's angry, although growing up, I didn't always know why she was angry. If she was angry at something that, you know, I did or that my brothers did or my dad, it was hard to tell because the way she responded to anger was just to shut down. So you knew she was angry. Mm-hmm. You just didn't know why she was angry. And if you were involved or not, you just didn't know. Everyone had to walk on eggshells until she at some point decided, well, I'm still angry, because you could tell she was still angry, but she was okay enough to, you know, have a conversation. So, you know, your kids are learning their different cues on how to act around you. It's one thing to say, oh, I'm always going to be have it together around my kids, but they see so much more. So even if they mm-hmm. don't ask, part of it is, you know, if they don't have that kind of relationship where they can talk to you about anything, and they won't, you know, these are things that they won't know until they ask, until they try.
Right.
So it's good that, you know, you've had some really good conversations with them where they were free to ask those questions and you were able to respond as honestly as you could. And that will go a long way for their development, because they need to know that, you know, when something is upsetting, you do have to acknowledge it. You may not need to linger
yes.
there for really long, but you do have to acknowledge it. And it does help. I mean, it took me 25 years to, you know, to finally get over, like, well, if I'm going to be angry, I'm just going to be angry and kind of respond the same way my mom did, which was just to shut down and not ever have an opening. I'm not saying it happens right away, but I'm aware of when I'm shutting people out. And I have to get back into doing something that opens it up to where, whether we talk about it or not, if you do talk about it, I mean, again, there's going to be a lot of discomfort. These are all things that I'm realizing, you know, never really had a chance to work out those kinds of conversations with my family members. Like with my immediate family, we still have these issues of, you know, how do I talk to you about this? You know, without feeling entitled to say all the things I've ever wanted to say, even if it's not really the place to say it. You know, it's like we save it up. So I say, thank goodness for you. You're going through your stuff, but you also have different ways of expressing it. And, you know, your kids are picking up on that. I mean, I could pick up on, when I was a kid, I picked up on my mom's moods. And I think in trying to talk to her, there are times when I definitely got a response back where I'm like, well, I'm not going to do that again. You know, I'm not going to ask that question again. So for your kids to be able to, you know, to witness what's, you know, this transformation, this change, and to still feel like they can talk to you and that they want to talk, they want to ask those questions. I think all kids want to. They may not know how to yet. But you definitely create a space where they can do that. And that allows them to, you know, at least take on, you know, whatever they feel they can do. It allows them to see that, you know, they're not the ones responsible for all this craziness. It allows them to see you, you know, they know when Nai-Nai is feeling really good and they know when you're feeling sad. So it just helps them. It helps them with their own interpersonal skills. And at a young age, when that innocence is there still, it's so much easier, I think, to have that environment than to try to figure it out because everyone was just sort of not saying anything at all. We figure it out eventually, but, you know, it's either like now or 25 years from now. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know, the development.
Yeah.
The opportunities for development are there. And so, you know, the thing is, I had but two parents that were – you know, one who was very around a lot and very emotional, but didn't, you know, until it came to the point of, well, what's really going on, and they can't answer. And then I had a parent who was busy all the time, was working all the time, and by nature doesn't really chat a lot unless he's telling jokes. So it was like, how do I get the answers I need, if I even dare to ask those questions? So I, you know, obviously I sat and observed a lot, but that doesn't necessarily mean I got my answers. It just meant that I observed a lot, and I formulated my own answers, and I tried to do the best I could with it. But it's never too late is a thing, but I just feel like, you know, you have very, very intelligent, loving children, and, you know, your style is a little different from Stephanie's, obviously, but that's a good thing. It's a good thing to have something a little different for them to work with. You know, that's probably why they were hanging around waiting for you. You know, these old contracts we have with our parents, you know, at least one of our parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so that's good. I'm glad to hear. And I know that home situations can be difficult, and whether it's, you know, just you in your home or a bunch of other people, but it's, you know, you're definitely still working through all the stuff that you still need to work through. And
well, yeah, and you can't, you know, you look at it, you know, 18 years of being with someone and experiencing life. And then, you know, we spent 14, 15 years in the same home together. And so there's not only is there a lot of stuff, but there's a lot of emotional stuff connected, a lot of, and like she said, I mean, she was able to actually, you know, she walked in a brand new space and had the same feeling that she felt. So it wasn't the
mm-hmm.
space, you know?
Right.
So it was the energy that she was creating that came in. So to me, you know, I continue to look at that. So what's, you know, if she's using me as the trigger for something for her to not feel well, you know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
okay, I'm, you know, I didn't have to do anything for her to have this trigger. So this was not,
right.
You know, again, I have to, you know, and you've said it to me and several other people. It's like, it's not you. You have to be okay to knowing that it's not you. And I think that the more, because I'm trying to understand it. I mean, I really have been pushing myself to understand the whole situation still, you know, but I'm letting go and letting
sure.
go and letting go, which is what I have to do. Speaking of which, I have some folks that showed, talking about Deb, she just showed up at my door. So I'm chuckling because I got no warning. This is sort of him or her MO as well. So I had no warning
right.
they're coming here to pick up a trailer. So I was kind of laughing because I'm like, well, of course, this is, you know, everything's been so quiet, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm doing a radio show. I've got people at my door. You know, all these things are happening. You know, so why not all at once? So it's all, you know,
sure.
makes me smile a little bit. So it's good. But yeah, I get what you're saying, and I believe that you know, with the kids, like I push them now. Well, before I didn't really push them to spend one-on-one time with me, and so now I did, even if it's just sitting and watching something together, you know, if it's a movie, we're watching a movie together, if it's, you know, if it's playing a game, we're playing a game together, and so
mm-hmm.
Those are the things that I think I have pushed myself to do with the kids, whereas before it would be, I would be in one room doing something, and they would be in another room doing something, and it's like, you know, so I believe that's going to create a different dynamic for us as well. So that, to me, that's
well,
pretty awesome.
Well,
yeah.
Sure. Now that, you know, so many of those variables have changed and, you know, you only get so much time with them, you know, right now you only get to have so much time with them. And that's why there are times when you, like what you would prefer, maybe not FaceTiming them because they're so distracted, you know, they're like, there's, you know, the kids are like wiggling around and, but when you are in the same space with them, you know, you would want to have that time be used as, you know, as smartly as possible, right? So
yeah,
that makes sense. I think it really tightens up you know, things that you really want to experience with them, so that it's not like, oh, well, we'll get around to it. I got to do this. It's like, no, because when you're finally there, you've cleared your schedule. You know, you've taken care of everything you need to take care of, and you're here. You've made room for it, so you're here. And you still can't make them engage with you, but for the most part, I think they're like, yeah, well, you know, let's do something, because I think they look forward to seeing you too. I think it's the same, kind of the same dynamic where they realize now they don't get to see you all the time. And they just can't take it for granted that you're going to be around. Kind of an interesting thing, because that is something that I remember growing up, my mom would always say, like, I'm not going to be around to pick up after you all the time. And I was like, oh no, wait a minute. you're not going to pick up any of this stuff. You know, it's like, I just couldn't fathom it, but there's a part of me that was thinking about that too. Like, well, I guess it's true. Not in the sense of like, because they're going to die, but because I'm going to get older and I'm going to not live here anymore. And, you know, it's an interesting thing to say, you know, because it's true. you know, my parents aren't going to be around. You know, your parents aren't going to be around all the time. And you don't, obviously, when you're a kid, you don't think about that. There'll be a period of time when you don't want to be around your parents, because that's, you know, your teen years. You don't want to hang out with them. So we have these different aha moments, but, you know, take advantage of it while you can. And this is helping them get through their own transition, you know, with the move and this new way of life, and, you know, everything that they've had to do before, where they had the benefit of two beings, you know, two parents, kind of grounding the situation. They don't have that to the same degree. It's a learning transition for them too, because they can't take things, anything for granted. They can't assume that everything's going to stay the same, because obviously it hasn't. Even if right now they think, oh, we're just kind of staying in a hotel. It's like kind of staying in a hotel, but they're like, oh, but all our stuff is here, or most of our stuff is there. And then, so it still takes a while, for it to really sink in.
Yeah. I mean, and that's it, you know, like the little one thing. So this is like an extended vacation kind of thing. And then I think, and it's okay. I see changes for them too, but where less, one, first of all, less is more. I think that's a big one too, because they've got, you know, again, it's the stuff like in excess. I know, like, especially when Jaden was little, and you know, there was I never said no to him, and that's one of Stephanie's things, is like, you never say no to him. You just give him whatever he wants. And but that's, I mean, it has stopped over the past couple of years, because, you know, of everything else that's been going on, and didn't quite have the means to just say yes to him all the time. And at the same time, his tastes have changed, and things have changed about him too. Like, he's very content going to the library and checking out books, and very happy, you know, doing some things. He's very scientific, and he's very, as you and I put it, very nerd-esque. He's that guy, you know? So, it's really fascinating to watch them and watch my, you know, and again, it goes back to watching myself and how I interact with them and how I interact with myself, and really understanding that, you know. And again, it feels like a lifetime, but it's only been 2 weeks that they've been out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so within that too, that's what my friend of mine last night, I was talking to, she's like, how's the total, you know, how's the house overhaul going? I'm like, it's not, I don't stay here. I'm not in a space, you know, I come here and I sleep. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I stay elsewhere, because I'm still not comfortable really being here by myself. It's very quiet and very big and very, very unhome-like, I guess that's the word. As much as you and I have shuffled furniture and stuff like that, it still feels very awkward to me. Awkward is the word that I'm using for everything right now. How are you feeling? Awkward. You know, for us to like be kind of talking about this on air, I know it's, you know, this is about changing mindset. This is about shifting perspective. This is about changing gears. And this is real life. You know, so many of us, myself included, had this illusion of, you know, I do see my life a certain way. And I have seen my life a certain way for a long time, and it's changed and morphed. And for a while there, I was holding the vision of family travel and doing all these things, and that's been shattered a little bit. And then I have to say, well, I still want the traveling piece. I don't know if the family's going to go with me, but I do want the traveling piece, and I want freedom. I've been asking for freedom. I've been asking for all of these things, and I didn't necessarily mean just me. You know, I meant as a whole,
right.
You know, get on the road kind of thing. And so, but, you know, obviously there's some thought process that had to happen here, and there's some beliefs that had to happen here for all of this to manifest the way it's manifesting. So I was listening to something this morning, like I told you before we got on the show. Every morning I get up, I want to listen to something positive, motivational, or learn about a technique or something that can help me shift my energy. And so I've been listening to like Anthony Robbins and, you know, just some very positive motivational speakers. And so this whole thing about shifting energy, when you feel it, moving that in your body, changing how that feels, and really just peeling back, you know, we talk about peeling back the onion, but that's just, it's like you can choose right now. What does Matt Kahn say? Choose right now to just be happy. And choose right now to be joyful to whatever degree that you allow that within yourself. I think that if you keep looking back at that, like what in this moment can bring me joy? Like, you know, in that yesterday, I remember when I was playing the board game and I got that knot in my stomach, and I was like, what in this moment can bring me joy? Watching my children, looking at their faces. They have a little kitten they're playing with, you know, playing with the cat. You know, all these things that I look at and say, you know, this, I love them. I love them. You know, I get to look at them and love them. I get to hold them. You know, I get to smell their hair. You know, I mean, that's that. It's that. So that rampage of appreciation comes in to kind of clear that. But at the same time, you know, I don't want to ask why that knot comes back, because I don't want it to continue to come back. I want to know how to dissipate it, how to remove it, how to allow it to morph into something else. And so those are the questions that I'm asking, and the I am statements. You know,
looks like her call got dropped. Anna, hopefully you can call back in. I think she will. She's also kind of doing her thing with the controls. So hopefully she'll know to call in. Here she is.
Oh, no. I'm
girl.
Back. Girl, just going on my rampage, and there it goes. There it goes. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's good, though, because that disrupts the program. It disrupts the, it scratches the record. You know, that's one thing. And that's why I go back to a lot of Tony Robbins stuff, because I remember back in the 90s, I did his personal power program. And that really catapulted me into something else. It really shifted gears for me. There was a lot of stuff that happened. And, you know, now here I am almost 20 years later. And it's like, wow, it's time for another morphing, you know. So.
Well, we're always growing, that's for sure.
What's next? Yeah, for sure. just trying to figure it out and not get bogged down in the mire of brokenness. You know, I think that's the important thing, is we're all whole and perfect the way we are. Every single person out there, whether you think you're not, you actually are, because in your perfection, you're going to shift and move into a direction of more and expansion and growth. And that's how perfect it is. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. That's why everyone's here, is this journey right now. And so one of the things I was reading, a gentleman that I follow too, and he is talking about, you know, people are out there and they want to coach you in understanding that, oh, law of attraction is great and you can attract the things that you want in your life and experience, and that's great. What they don't tell you is the stuff that's going to show up to help you move you on your way. And that's a huge aha. That's a big one. And I've been through this before. I went through it when I shut down my other business, And, you know, now it's like I feel like, ooh, I'm doing it again. Not only am I doing it with my personal, but I am doing it with this business that I have right now. I'm removing myself from it, you know, and I had given myself a timeline. I think that timeline is probably going to speed up. You know, it's like, woo, because things are happening. I think there's going to be some not only emotional but spiritual movement, but some physical movement with myself. I feel like that's what it's going to have to take for me to move me in the direction that I should be going. And that's scary. You know, I admit that there's fear around that. There's a lot of scariness around that, but it's like, you know, my reality is right now I'm in this home by myself pretty much. That thought, you know, was terrifying 3 months ago. It was terrifying 6 months ago. It was not really thought about a year ago. It wasn't even in my peripheral 2 years ago. And now it's a reality. So, you
right.
know, you have to look at that and say, what is it that you're asking for unconsciously or subconsciously? I say unconsciously because subconscious kind of works. It's like the weaver. So it's the thing that weaves it. But what are you asking for in a powerful way, unconsciously? So each of us have to look at mm-hmm. our lives and say, you know, I did create this. You know, there is a co-creative experience here, and I did have a big part in this creation. So what was my thought process? Or was I not even focusing? And to me, that's probably part of it. I was focusing so much on other things, and I didn't focus on this, and I didn't give it to my attention. And I just, I don't want to say I gave up on it, but it just, you were going through the motions. You know, you're just moving through the motions of what you think that you're supposed to do. And here's the thing. None of us came with a manual, right? Like, we only experience what other people have experienced, and we pull that into our experience. That's the biggest thing, too. It's like, what role did I play in this relationship? What role was I really gleaning off of in this relationship? So what did I have as a child? You know, you were talking about, you know, your mom and how she, you never saw her cry. You know, I think even now my dad and I have such a great relationship. When I was younger, we didn't really have a relationship, you know, he was my dad and he was the authority figure, but we did Bible study and stuff like that. And, you know, what was the other part of the relationship? And even with my mom, I think back, it's like, do I remember swimming, and this sounds weird, but swimming in any form or fashion, we probably, you know, we used to go to Lions Beach. We used to go to Folly Beach. We used to go to Isle of Palm, you know, all over the Carolinas. And I remember as a child that we did stuff together as a family, but yet I don't remember ever one-on-one consciously playing with my parents. You know what I mean? Like, there's a guy named Cecil. There's a guy named Cecil who taught us how to swim. He taught us how to swim in his pool with swimmies and the whole nine yards. I don't really distinctly remember being in the pool with my parents. So those are things that I think about now. I think, you know, like Memorial Day weekend, we went to a friend's house and we were all there and she had a pool. And I got in the pool with the kids because I wanted to play with the kids in the pool. That's different for me because I usually don't get in pools. But it's so important to me to have this connection now. I'll get in a pool with my kids and play with them. So to me, that has been a big expansion, something that, you know, what is more powerful, the love for your children and wanting to spend time with them, or this idea of I really don't want to be in a bathing suit in a pool because that's so self-centered, you know? So you let go of some of this crap, you know, that's what I want to call it. It's just crap that stops you from living life, crap that just stops you from being who you authentically should be and how you should be. I think that, you know, that's a big part of it too, you know, just a huge part of it. So, but there's so many things, Elisa, you know, it's, oh my God, it's just so much. And it's like, I only wish, you know, if people are going to listen to this and you're in a place right now where things are not so great, whether it be in your relationship or your business or whatever, really take a look at it. Really take a look at it. And if you want it, if you want that relationship or if you want that business, what can you do right now to change the energy of it? You know, because I'm asking myself, as much as I actually kind of enjoy printing, I don't enjoy the business process of it. I've realized that. There are certain things that I don't enjoy about being in business. And I'm really kind of tired of it. I'm tired of that, of really hustling, you know, what I call hustle, right? You got to do your hustle. Liz talks about that, right? Do your hustle.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, at some point you're tired of that. You're tired of the hustle and you just want to stop and say, that's enough. I'm good. And as much as I don't want to let people down, as much as I don't want to hurt anybody, I have to think about me, you know, I have to think about my happiness.
Yeah.
I have to think about my joy. And I really haven't done that in a long time. And that's something that Stephanie had said to me. She said, you're not happy. And I was like, well, why are you telling me I'm not happy? Or, you know, but when I look back, it's like, you know what? I wasn't happy. And that permeated my life. And that had to permeate her life. And that had to permeate the children's life. And so now I know that. And I wish I had stepped up, you know, 5 years ago when I made a decision, or 7 years ago when I made it. I've been doing this for a long time. I've been not been happy in this aspect of my life for a long time, but I've been afraid to change it. You know, there's a big fear of me changing it. And that's why I say I think there's going to be some mega moves on my part, because in order for me to shake me out of this, I've got to do something huge, you know. So I believe that in that, I totally messed up this relationship. And then we both did it. I want to say that. And I feel like I'm taking responsibility for my beliefs and my actions, or lack of actions, in my part.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important that those of us in there, we don't point a finger and we say someone else did this to me, because they didn't. You know, I did it to myself. And had I taken the action steps, you know, many years ago, then no, this wouldn't be happening. Or maybe it would have happened differently. Or, you know, something else would have shifted. So there's a lot of woulda, coulda, shoulda. You know, when Steph and I talk about that too, it's woulda, coulda, shoulda. It's you don't have that. You can't do that. You can't go back. So what can you do in your present? What can you do right now to shift the energy? You know. So in this relationship, because we still have relationship, because we are friends. We can say that we're friends, and we have children together. How do we navigate now, so that we don't have these, you know? And I, not that I felt bad, but it really made me aware. It's like she didn't feel good when she walked in, and I triggered that, you know? So she has this Pavlov's effect when certain things are happening around her. So of course I don't feel good in that. I want her to feel good. I want her to feel good regardless of whether I'm there or not. I want her to be happy, and yet that's not in my control. Only she can do that. You know, only she can make herself happy.
When I understand what you're saying, I would just just caution you to, you know, it's not all or nothing with these revelations. It's
mm-hmm.
one part of a whole
mm-hmm.
story that has different characters and different variables. So
mm-hmm.
it's just be mindful. I mean, it's like, I get it. And you know, it's a big deal to take responsibility for your part in it. But
mm-hmm.
don't extend it into like, you know, and then all this would have happened because you don't know. I mean, there is so much other stuff that, you know, before you two ever met, that she had and that you have with yourself. So, I mean, I would say for you to understand that you weren't happy 7 years ago and you were trying to make a change, think about what I knew. I remember what you were trying to do, and you were doing some of the same things. You were, you know, you were really opening yourself up to being a motivational speaker and getting more into your spirituality. And there were things that you did that you were participating in that you didn't get support on. So it's not, you know, it's not that it isn't just, oh, if I had just been happier and everything. It's
right.
It's not that. It's for you, it's understanding that, yeah, now is probably a really good time to really start doing things, because things have changed to the degree that you can see the freedom in it more so than the fear. But, you know, what you were going through a few years ago when you really were tired of the printing business, and you were trying to, you were really going into some other things. I mean, you started this radio station. You were really going into your spiritual side and really wanting to bring that more to the forefront. You also had a partner who at the time was not interested in any of those things, really.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So just, you know, let's not to say let's go back to that, remember all the heavy stuff, but there was a flow to it. There's a reason for that to happen. You know, she obviously had to go through her own stuff for her to feel, I don't even know if she's feeling better, but I think to some degree she is when she's made some certain decisions. But, you know, she has her own road. So, yeah, I understand. You will always be that person, Anna, that will be like, oh, I just want everyone to feel good. And that's the core of who you are. But
right.
Like, also the core of a Pisces is to kind of want to do it for everybody. And then you realize, crap, I can't, you know. And then you beat yourself up for it. But it wasn't really it wasn't really your responsibility anyway. So let's just stop that for a moment or forever. And say, you know, you've come to this conclusion that, you know, this is not something that you need to be wavering on in terms of any decision you make for your work. You know, whether it's I'm going to, you know, play out this season, because we definitely have these cycles where, you know, there ain't nothing going on, but you've been letting it go. I mean, you have been, and I think everyone kind of has picked up on that. And so you're now, like I said, that fear is going to be downplayed more so than and then the excitement of this freedom that you have is going to motivate you to really follow through. And so now those little excuses that you would bring up for yourself, those aren't factoring in anymore. I mean, it really is just like, well, crap, what do I want to do? And as I told you years ago, you know, after doing your numbers, I'm like, you have so many ideas. It's just, you know, pick one or two and see it through and see what happens. But, you know, that one has got to be the one that sustains your interest and engages you and pushes you, even if it means, man, it's like almost like someone double dog dare you to do it. And you're like, aha, you respond to that and you do it, you know, however it works, you know, but you're not that type of competitive person. You just, you know, so sometimes it'll work for people to say, I bet you can't do that. Like, oh, well, watch me. You know, that doesn't motivate you. It's something different. But, you know, for another person with that type of mentality, it's like, haha, you know, that's all you need. That's the push they need, is to go out and conquer the world.
Right.
So, you know, you this is how you're ramping up your own energy. Like, all the things you're trying to do, not even trying, the things that you are doing. But just, you know, give it some time to, they're showing me cooking, like you can't make, you know, chicken adobo really, really, really fast. Right? Like you need to let it simmer for a little bit, because otherwise it seemingly tastes okay, but it'll be rough or, you know, raw or whatever. So I mean, let's face it, chicken adobo, you can't really mess up, but
it's got to cook.
Maybe you can.
Maybe you can,
but you got to let it cook. You just got to let it cook.
Yeah.
And so when you let it simmer, and this is like you've been noticing how your feeling and your body will be catching up to all these things you've been trying to process emotionally and mentally. So I think it's that you're trying to process everything and it'll just come in waves. That's why, and I get it, because there are times when you'll think it's something that's triggered you, but it's just like something, maybe that's what it is, but whatever it is, vibrationally it's connecting to something that you hadn't really expressed before. You know, so for all the grief that maybe you didn't have time to express, and maybe that's what that knot in your stomach is like that having to keep it together, thinking you got to keep it together, and now you don't have to. But it's like, and you don't have to really linger too long on trying to figure it out. I mean, I know we will because we're Bengalans. We try to figure that stuff out. But just to be able to breathe it in and then let it go. I mean, if that's all you can do in that moment, you know, whether it's just to cry and then breathe it in and let it go, then do it. Because that, like everything else, is just temporary, even more temporary than other things. But, you know, you're doing what you need to do. And I get it. I mean, when people... Even here in any house I've lived in, you know, if I've had, you know, other housemates, when it's empty, I tend to sleep like on the couch because it's like a common room, and I usually do have the TV on, and I don't like falling asleep to the TV, but I have. Obviously, I can fall asleep anywhere, so TV on, whatever. But there's something it's meant to be comforting until you get tired of being on the couch because, you know. Your couch is pretty comfy, so that could be a problem. But, you know, the couch I have right now, you know, it's comfortable to a point. And you're like, I think the impression of my body is like in this couch. So I probably should get up and maybe sleep somewhere else, you know, kind of give it time to air out. But, you know, we do those things because our normal routine has been disrupted. Mm-hmm. And it just takes, when people say 21 days to start a new habit or whatever, you know, to have it sink in. So you can change some things up. Not that I expect you to be sleeping on the couch, but like I said, it is a comfy couch. So maybe, you know, it's not a bad thing.
Well, yeah. And I have been because the, you know, my AC issue and I just have not, and honestly have not emotionally prepared myself to get upstairs and clean everything out because that's really the next step. And so I've felt emotionally stronger the past couple of days, so that's been good. And moving towards just being okay, getting up there with some boxes and the vacuum cleaner and just cleaning up. And not that it's, and by no means is it filthy, it's just stuff. You know, it's just a lot of stuff still. I'm surprised it's like, they moved out, but man, half their stuff is still here, you know? and that's okay because I want to maintain their space for them. We just need to clean it up because it really looks like a hurricane went through and just picked and that's what they did. They picked the stuff that they really wanted to take with them and they left. So, you know, it's really not up to me to do it. I can get them over here and do it at the same time. I just, right now I'm not looking at it. You know, you know, put a bed in the master bedroom and I was sleeping there while the AC was working. But since the AC is out, I've got my portable downstairs and I've sort of hold up when I'm here because I'm not here a lot. You know, here I feed the cats and talk to them and chit chat with them and stuff. And we hang out and then I go about, I keep myself busy. So, and that's partly, you know, my thought process too, because I do, you know, I want to step into my power as a coach and a healer and a speaker and someone who can help others motivate, you know, and then part of me is like, well, if you're feeling like cockapoodie, basically, how can you motivate others? How can you help inspire others? And I say, well, because this is your story and you're going to work through it. This is your stuff. You're going to work through it and people are going to see you working through it and they're going to see you come back stronger. And so you can use these in the work that you're going to be doing and you're going to heal yourself. You know, you're going to take care of yourself. You're going to, you know, you're going to nurture yourself. And so all of those things are, it's part of the process, you know, it's really part of the process. And, you know, yeah, there are times when I feel terrible. I mean, I feel so not good. It's not even funny. And it's like, wow, this is so heavy. And then, I have to say, you know, I'm here to be on this journey. I'm here to feel this. I'm here to experience this because even though it doesn't feel great right now, I know shifting it, it's going to feel better tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day, the next day. So, you know, you go on that sort of, and I realized too, I was saying that I'm on this emotional roller coaster ride. Well, stop, get off the ride. You know, choose to stay on a steady course of happiness and joy. Even though you may not feel like it right now, when you move in that direction, if your train is heading in that direction, you're going to feel that the majority of the time when you continue to talk to yourself and tell yourself, because that's the conversation and that's the relationship that I know I need to nurture and everyone needs to nurture, is that conversation with themselves, the experience with themselves. You know, and everybody's like, well, get out of your head and into your heart. Yes, get out of your head and into your heart. Yet those thoughts and those words are coming through your head and you're saying things. So as I'm walking around the house, I'm saying, I am powerful. I'm amazing. I am love. I am joy. I'm using all my I am statements. You know, when I see myself in the mirror, I just smile and say, I love you. And all is well. You know, it's what you can do. And sometimes you don't feel like that when you're looking at yourself. And at the same time, when I smile at myself, there's something that shifts. It's like, okay, you're okay. You're okay. You know, and then there's somebody else comes along and says, hey, Anna, you're okay. It's like, thanks. I appreciate that. Hey, Anna, I love you. You're okay. You know, and it's oh, okay. Okay. You know, so it really is pulling when I'm not okay in the moment, it's really pulling the memory or pulling that thing or something that triggers. And it's just about disrupting that pattern. And I think that's important to understand, is continue disrupting those patterns that don't feel good and morphing those emotions, that thing that doesn't feel good, into something new, something different. So making the changes, making the shifts. For sure. Yeah.
You said, you know, the emotional roller coaster. And I was like, and they're like, yeah, get on. I'm like, yeah. I mean, if you're going to do anything emotional, like emotional skee ball at the amusement park, that's probably my favorite game, is skee ball. And not necessarily, I've never been a roller coaster person. Skee ball, however,
you know,
emotional, you know, what is it, whack-a-mole or whatever, you know, something like that. That may be a little more healthy.
I just want it to be harmonic. It doesn't need to be extreme ups and downs. I just want it to be harmonic. And for last week I had some extremes ups and downs, and I acknowledge that. I think it's important that we acknowledge it, because so much that we've talked about is, you know, stay happy, be joyful. Well, you know what? Acknowledge the shit, folks, because it happens. You know, shit happens and shift happens. So when we acknowledge that and say, you know, I met with my friend Robin, and Robin looked at me and she's like, I've never seen you like this. You know, I'm going to tell you, you look not good. You know, you don't feel good. I have to disconnect from you. I have to disconnect from you energetically because you don't feel good. You feel heavy. You know, thank you for telling me. Thank you for acknowledging that, because I need to acknowledge it and I need to let it go. And so I talked to her the next day and she's like, you feel better today. I said, you know what? I do. And I said, I appreciate you talking with me and hang, because I told her, it's like, you don't have to hang out with me. She's like, no, I want to. So, thank you for holding space, because I know a lot of people are holding space. I get a lot of loving texts and a lot of loving messages from people saying, you know, if you need me, I'm here. You know, one of the statements that I keep saying to myself is, I'm open to receive. I'm open to receive. I'm open to receive. That, you know, that can come in so many different forms, and it has come in so many different forms. So that receiving is so important. You know, as much as I want to give, now I'm as much as I want to receive, you know, just allow
right.
that. I think that's
nice.
Important. Yeah. Huge. Huge.
You're doing well. You actually are, and I'm so happy for you that you're doing what you need to do, and you're processing what you need to process. And I know there are some days are better than others, and some times of the day are better than others. So you do what you can. Yeah,
for sure. For sure.
Yeah. Well, we've actually wrapping up on the last minute of the show, so I'm glad that you're doing this work, because it is going to help you, obviously not just help you, but that's the stuff that's going to make you this amazing inspirational speaker and coach and all the things that you already have underneath your belt. But this is huge. So it's
yeah.
There's purpose for all of it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's, you've got to, I have to know. It's like, I have to know that there's purpose in order to move forward, because if there weren't purpose, oh my gosh. Like I say, if I didn't understand energy and how to shift it and move, I would be in a not good place right now. Like Marguerite was saying, you know, this is very much like, it very much is like a death, very much is like what I went through with my mom, but I didn't stay, instead of staying in that really heavy, heavy, heavy place, I continue to shift my energy and move myself into a place that feels so much better. And that's the important thing. And that, and nothing has to happen. You know, I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to do anything. I just have to be in a state of well-being. And I think that's the big difference.
Yeah.
And love. I mean, you know, I talk about love all the time, and that's so important. Is you've got to love, you got to love life. You have to love life enough to know that everything is working out for your highest and greatest good. That's, you know, that's the thing right there. But anyway, all right. I love you. I appreciate these moments that we have. And anyway,
I love
it's
you
all
too.
Good.
You can and all you of, can wrap it up for us.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Sunday Show on Universal Energy Radio with Alisa and Anna. And please like us on Facebook if you haven't already, facebook.com/Universal Energy Radio. We are back on again on Tuesday with The Some of You Show with Alisa and Liz. And, yeah, remember that life is your journey. Be happy where you are and move in that direction and watch where it takes you. We'll talk to you again soon. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.